Up from the grave he arose with the mighty. Okay, no, 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 no. Should we try that again? Should we try that again? I don't know what it is about Easter, but I just get so excited. It just sends these legs moving in a new direction, this heart beating with a new race of hope. There's something about Easter that makes me just want to run. Do you feel it too? Even at 7 a.m.? I think I'm going to start a race. I might call it track and field, the tomb trot, huh? Or the tomb invitational, because isn't that what it is? Isn't Jesus inviting us to encounter the evidence, to run in a new direction, a resurrection direction with him? Truthfully, I think I might be onto something with that track and field, the tomb invitational. I like it. Well, whether that catches on or not, I want to tell you what sent my feet running in that direction that original Easter morning. And I have to start by saying I wasn't the first one on the track that day. The women were, specifically Mary Magdalene herself and maybe a few others. It says early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, even before the sun rose for a sunrise service, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, she's not the person you would expect to be on the track that first Easter morning. She was, first of all, a woman. And I'm not saying women aren't as fast as men, okay? I'm not going that direction there. But in my day, women weren't taken seriously in the court of law. They couldn't give their verdict, they couldn't give their voice and be taken seriously in the court trials of their day. And so it's very unlikely that if you're trying to start a new religion or start something that's going to gain traction, that you're going to start with a woman's witness in my day. And yet that's exactly how the story starts, because we're not concerned about what people think. We're concerned about reporting the truth of the events in that day. And Mary was the first one on the track. If I was starting the leadoff leg, I probably wouldn't have started with Mary, but God doesn't seem to blush in these matters. And not only that, Mary was an unlikely candidate too, because Mary had a past. She had some skeletons in the closet. As a matter of fact, Mary was one that Jesus had delivered from 7 demons. She had a lot in her past, in other words. Maybe her demon was a certain attitude. Maybe it was an addiction. Maybe it was something emotional. Maybe it was something spiritual. Maybe it was something physical. We don't know, but there was a lot of it in Mary's past. And Jesus had healed her, transformed her, moved her forward. And so out of devotion, out of love, out of reverence, she's one of the first ones on the track that morning, that original Easter morning. Not the character I would have chosen for the leadoff leg, and yet God doesn't blush at the things that sometimes makes man blush. He had on the track that first Easter morning Mary Magdalene. But notice, Mary wasn't going to the tomb expecting what we've encountered today. She was coming expecting to anoint a body, a dead body, rolled behind a rock. And she was startled as much as anyone else by the events at that tomb, that the rock was rolled away. Now, this would take more than just a shot putter to roll the rock away here. This is a couple man job to roll the rock away, and yet the rock was rolled away, and it sent Mary running that first Easter morning. She came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. And we took off running back to the tomb after Mary told us this. They said they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. See, she wasn't going expecting the risen Lord. She was going expecting a body and fearing that someone had taken the body somewhere else. And so when Mary told us that news of what took place at that tomb track invitational that first day, it sent Peter and I running. Peter and I raced as fast as Lee's legs could take us, but I gotta admit, my legs are a little bit faster than Peter's legs, if you know what I'm saying there. We both went running the tomb that day, but the other disciple, that's me, outran Peter, and I reached the tomb first. Who's keeping score, I know, but yeah. Verse 5. I bent over. I had to. I was gassed. I just ran my heart out. And so I bent over, and I looked in the tomb, and I saw these straps of linen just lying there. But it was the way they were lying there that caught my attention. And then Simon Peter, he finally caught up. And being like Simon Peter is, he elbowed his way and just pushed his way right into the tomb. He came in, and straight into the tomb he went. And he too saw the strips of linen. There's so much attention to this clothing that we're looking at. Both Peter and I notice it. The cloth had been wrapped around Jesus' head. This is the same words for how he was wrapped following his burial. The strips wrapped around his head. There was something about the clothing of Jesus that really caught our attention. And finally, we came together, we reached the tomb, I went inside as well, and when I saw it, I believed. There was something about the clothing, something about the evidence that was right before us. We didn't have the body, we didn't have that encounter, that was coming later, but what we did have right before us was the clothing itself, as the first ones at the tomb, and it was the way the clothing was lying there. It was lying there like a body had just evaporated out of it. See, if someone was stealing the body of Jesus, they wouldn't have been quick to unwrap it and leave the linen lying there and then taking the body with them. They would have been in urgency. There were soldiers posted guard. This was a marquee spot. They would have just grabbed and gone, not to mention the soldiers at the cross. They were gambling for Jesus' linen then. Why wouldn't robbers take the linen with them too? They could make a pretty buck out of that as well. No, instead this linen was lying there exactly as if it had still wrapped Jesus' body, only his body was gone. It was like the body had just evaporated out of it. You see, the way we buried bodies is we would wrap the linen around them and we would anoint them with spices and myrrhs to keep the stench of decaying flesh out. And as a body is bloodied, as a body has the water and all that that's still with it, the linen would like cocoon itself around the body. And so it forms a hard kind of a cocoon shell to wrap the body up. And all that cocoon shell was still there, but it was like evaporated out. Like the body had just escaped. You would have had to cut the linen cloth to peel it away to get the body out and left it there. But there was no cuts. It was still cocooned right according to Jesus, just as if he was laying, and yet it remained in the body, didn't it? When I walked in and saw that, it sent these mind, this legs, this heart beating in a whole new direction. I believed it. Why not? Jesus had told us before this point that it would happen just so. It was tough to boggle then, but as the evidence stares me right in the face, I believed it. And I wouldn't just believe it because of the linens. I would have an encounter, a personal experience with the risen Lord himself. And not just me, many others, Mary Magdalene herself, who initially was in disbelief, the 11 others, over 500 people who walked and talked with Jesus had an experience in that very same location of Jerusalem itself. Other people experienced it. There was evidence all around. And there's evidence I would like to share further with you about too, about why I believe that he's risen indeed. So much evidence, maybe so, that I'll even write a book about it. You should check it out. The Gospel of John, that includes some of it. I'd like to tell you about it at a later date, but I noticed the time is running. And I promised Thomas that at 9 a.m. I would be going for a jog with him. So I got to be going here. But you remember that he is risen. Up from the grave he rose with the mighty triumph.
Wasn't expecting that. That's the shortest sermon I've ever seen. Very confused. Everyone, please stand.
Don't expect it at 9 o'clock.